Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I want to talk a little bit about seeking. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to talk about seeking because, you know, men for a long time have been seekers. Mm-hmm. They really have.
All right.
And the question is often, you know, what are we seeking? You know, some have sought money. Some have sought fame. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Some have sought luxury. Some have sought a name, a status.
Right.
You know, or sought. They sought after relationships and they sought after love, mm-hmm. houses and cars and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the question is, who's seeking God? Mm. Who's seeking God? And the thing is that you have to search God out. You know, if you want a relationship with God, I mean, he puts the seek in us. It's not like we have mm-hmm. to, you know, right. start from scratch. If you're seeking and you're looking, and mm-hmm. many are today, let me tell you, many, right. many are looking to God and for God. But, you know, that word seek means to go on a search or a quest mm-hmm. to try to find or discover by searching. And let me tell you something. If, you know, you can find a lot of things. I mean, you can search for a lot of things. But the question is, what are you searching for? Mm-hmm. You know, oftentimes people say, well, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy in our life. I just mm-hmm. want to be happy. Mm-hmm. The truth is that happiness is just something that just happens. Mm-hmm. It's circumstantial oftentimes right. based upon what's happening in your life.
All right. And it's short-lived a lot of times.
Very short-lived. I mean, get the new iPhone and 2 minutes is gone. I mean, that feeling is that's it.
Yep. You know? Time for an upgrade.
It just went away. I mean, mm-hmm. It's fleeting moments. Mm-hmm. Get the new car, you're excited, and then the reality of a payment and the first spill.
Right. Or the trash thrown on your floor.
Yeah. You know, you wouldn't know nothing about that.
No.
But anyway, think about it. Mm-hmm. It's just so fleeting. And joy comes from the Lord because you can have joy residing on the inside of you mm-hmm. no matter what you're going through because God brings joy. Jesus brings joy. Having a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. Now, Psalms 27:4 says, one thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Mm-hmm. Man, I remember when I first came to God, I'm like, man, this is me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just need to do one thing right now. I mean, right. I've been searching and doing so many. I've been all over the place. Mm-hmm. That I just need to focus on this one thing.
Yeah.
And that's seeking God. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. If that's you today and you maybe you've are just coming to God or maybe you've been following the Lord for a long time and you've been distracted, you know, you can seek deeper mm-hmm. into God and the ways of God and having a relationship with him. Luke 9 says, the Word of God says, so I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find and knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks mm-hmm. receives and he who seeks finds and to him who knocks, the door will be opened.
Right.
There's a verse of scripture that says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, it's the glory of kings to search it out. Mm-hmm. And so you got to spend time with the Lord.
That's right.
You know, it's not going to be no osmosis experience here. We're talking about growing in God. You know what I mean? Not mm-hmm. just going to jump in or just, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. 19%, according to George Barna, 19%. Why are we talking about this? Because only 19% of the church, according to George Barna statistics, mm-hmm. actually read the Bible. That's I mean, right. how can you go after God? How can you have a heart that's for him? How can you seek him out, his ways, his will, his plans
right.
for your life, for your family's life, for your destiny in God, if you're not even abiding or spending time in his word?
That's right.
I mean, that's not a recipe for success here. You know what I'm saying?
No,
no not time with God and trying to see God at the same. No, it's just not going to happen.
Mm-mm.
Right. So this is important because we can be going through emotion and going through, you know, some, we talked about it yesterday, Matthew West's song. And I'm just going through he says, I don't want to go through the motions. I just don't want to live one more day without your all consuming, you know, power basically on my life.
Right.
And at some point, enough has to be enough. I love what Hebrews 11:6 says, that, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
That's right.
Dude, there are rewards to seeking God.
Absolutely.
You know, there are rewards when you say, you know what, I'm going to get my life right. I'm going to get my priorities right. I'm going to have a heart that's for God, and I'm going to seek him. I'm going to search out his ways. I'm going to make him number one in my life. I've been listening to VFN radio, and you know what? I don't want to be that 19%. Mm-hmm. I want to be one that abides with the Lord. Right. You know, you can go to, you can get a simple plan. If you're listening today, you can go to get a simple plan at iabide.org. It's free. It doesn't cost you a thing.
Right.
And it's a plan where how you can begin to seek after God, make him the first. But listen, there's a reward. Says, you know, listen, if you're going to come to him, you got to believe he exists, number one. You can't search a God that you don't believe exists. And then, you know, he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him out.
Well, think about that. I mean, every day we get a chance to seek his face.
Yeah.
Every single day. You know, personally, I do my abiding in the mornings. You know, it's just the most quietest time. It's most clear-headed. It's before all the distractions of, you know, your day. And I'm just amazed of all the time. You know, sometimes you just, there's days you just ain't feeling it. You know, it's just, it's tough because everything's coming against you a lot of times. But I'm just amazed how many times, you know, how God just
shows
speaks.
Up.
He shows up.
You Isn't
know,
that amazing?
The revelation that comes, you know, when it just blows me away. You know, when we earnestly seek him, like you said, he speaks to you.
Yeah. I mean, James says that if we draw close to God, he will draw close to us. I've said it before that your first step often determines God's second step. You know, but you got to take the first step. You have to take spiritual responsibility for your own personal walk. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And that same statistic, George Barna quotes, that only 3% of all believers actually feel a personal responsibility for their own spiritual development.
Unbelievable.
I mean, we were joking earlier about Peter's t-shirt about, you know, get your own groceries, eat your own groceries. And what we're talking about is that you need to not trust and rely on hearing God's voice, not just from, you know, a message, a preached message, or maybe from a pastor that shared with you, or listen, that, you know, a devotional, somebody else's groceries. It's just someone else's abiding time that they wrote down in a book. And you're reading their experience with God. And sure, it could minister to you. Sure, it could bless you. But there's nothing like that one word from God
To you.
To you.
Nothing.
I mean, come on. You know, that right there alone will set you apart.
Absolutely.
I forget who that young boy from Kentucky used to say. He says, that'll crank your tractor. We used to know. It's skipping me right now, but he says that used to crank my tractor.
Steve? No, I think I know you're talking about somebody we know, like, or minister.
Yeah, someone. It's slipping me right now, but I remember the quote.
Sounds like something Ray Hughes would say.
It really cranks my tractor, but
listen.
We're not going to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you can seek God when times are seemingly good, but let me tell you, there could be a situation. I mean, we talked about Manasseh a little bit yesterday. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
There could be some trials and some tribulations that could really help you put the seek in you. You know what I mean? When things start drying up and things, I mean, it's amazing. It's like, where's that Bible? Where's my journal? What?
Right.
Don't bother me. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing what pain and suffering does in terms of being, you know, on the straight and narrow. Mm-hmm. When you look at the early church and they're persecuting the book of Acts, they were like, man, they didn't miss nobody. And they were like,
they showed up early.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You know, and sometimes we can just fall asleep and fall back in the luxury and the blessed land that we have here in the United States. I mean, this is a blessed land. We have so much at our disposal.
I was just thinking that this morning. I think about that message. Can you stand to be blessed? Every time Israel got blessed, they fell right back into idolatry. I mean, and that's the same today. Nothing's changed, you know?
So true. That is a powerful message. Maybe somehow we can make that available to those who subscribe. But can you stand to be blessed? I mean, so many times people want a blessing from the Lord. They God bless me with a car, bless me with a job, bless me with a marriage, bless me with children. And so God, listen, who does not want to bless their children? Who does not want to give their children the best of the best? If you know, if that's what they can do and it's going to benefit them the most, you know, who doesn't want to be kind hearted and generous in that way? I mean, God listen, the stopping and the blessing is not on God's part here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
The clog is not there. God wants to bless us. But the question is, and the question to you is, can you stand to be blessed?
Yeah.
And you go back and you inventory some you know, others' lives and some situations and maybe your own, that when God did bless you with the job, when God did answer your prayer and gave you the child, when they said you were not going, no way, when you prayed for a spouse and you were tired of being alone, I mean, you were just tired of being alone and I needed
just
help.
Just wanted somebody to talk to.
Just
to share those times with.
Don't do it to me today. Don't do it to me today. I just want to talk to someone. I just want to be there, you know. And now God gave you that someone. And now you don't, you know, now, wait a second. You don't want to leave.
Yeah. Now you can't get up.
And the other one doesn't want to, you know.
You can't open your Bible.
Follow God, you know, submit to his ways. It's like, come on now. Isn't this what you prayed for? Isn't this what you wanted?
Yep.
You got the job. I mean, you were unemployed. The job that you had wasn't right. They were treating you wrong. You were suffering. And God bless you and put you in a good place where they were taking care of you and paying you a nice wage.
Yeah.
And now that God bless you with the job, now can't gather with the fellowship. I can't be out in the harvest field. I can't do a prayer watch. I can't pray. My job, you know, my job.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many things that get blamed on because of a job. Like, you know, you just have to do this. You know?
Yeah. Well, God can fix that.
Oh, yes, he can. Yes, he can.
I've seen it.
You know? Oh, tell me about it. Mm. And the thing about it, too, is like, you know what? Then just get another job. You know what I'm saying? But we're talking about seeking God. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between seeking God's hand and seeking God's face.
That's right.
You can't seek God's provision and God's, you know, protection and you know, get me out of jail or hell free card and just what God can do for me.
Yeah. So there's a difference between seeking God's face and seeking his hand, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can't do both. And the thing is that if you just focus on seeking God, you know, because oftentimes people think that if my way to this answer, since I know God holds everything in his hands, I'll just cozy up to God and bat my eyes and, you know, listen, God cannot be fooled and he will never be manipulated.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? Listen, you cannot play God. Let me just help you out real quick. You know what I mean? Because it's better just to come so sincere to the Lord and seek him for him.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And like you were talking about earlier, John, is that, you know, when you're seeking God, you know, that's when the rewards come. You know, if you're focusing on him, then he's bringing all these other things that, because he knows what you need before you even ask of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And so, but when you're seeking his face, he's just going to bless you that way. He's going to bring it, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, Greg used to do this, what was that called? You know, he preached this message one time, and where he was talking about, he did a, the words are escaping me.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about. You know, where he brought somebody up on stage, and, you know, when his eyes were focused on God,
he did an illustration.
Yeah, he did an illustration, where, you know, where God was just like sticking, you know, he needed some money, put it in his back pocket.
Yeah.
Needed some clothes, put a jacket on him, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, but that's what God does for us. When we're focused on him, he takes care of our needs.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Then all these things will be given to you.
That's right.
Then. And also, we talked about this as well yesterday, is that, you know, the word tells us in Isaiah 55:6, that seek the Lord while he may be found. Mm. Call on him while he is near. Let me tell you, there is a time for seeking.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't respond to the Lord's gentle call, if you don't respond to the Lord's gentle whisper, I mean, he's put people in your life. He's surrounded you with help. He's trying to get a hold of you.
Mm.
If you don't respond in the time when he is near, you know, Jesus was in his ministry, was continually moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, he was about the Father's business, you know, and there's a time where you can call out to God. I remember the man on the side of the road that is beating his chest in his Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Mm. I mean, he was going to be determined that he was going to be heard. He was blind. And I'm going to seek God, even though people are looking at me crazy.
Yeah, tell him to shut up, go away.
You're making a scene, man. Mm-hmm. You're making a scene. Don't you think you're being a little too radical by showing up early? Don't you think you're being radical by abiding every day? You understand.
But what did Jesus do?
Went straight to him.
Yeah.
Went straight to him.
What can I do for you?
What can I do for you? And you want to get the attention of God, seek him for the right reasons. We already know he's going to reward you.
Yeah.
We already know he's going to reward you. I like in 2 Chronicles 15:2 says, the Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he'll be found by you. Mm. I mean, he's not trying to play a hide and go seek. This is not a hard thing to do. You know, he's not a mystery, no matter what you've been told. He is a very relatable God, but we have to put him in a place of honor. We got to put him in the place of value. We're just not going to bump into him, and we don't want to be casual in our approach to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to approach him with reverence. We need to approach him like we spoke about earlier, with the fear of the Lord, and we want to desire his presence. We want to desire his will. We want to seek him for who he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ever maybe have a small children and you're like, you know, you want to go out with me somewhere and go for a ride?
Oh, yeah.
And they start asking you, well, where are we going?
Where are we going? What are we doing? Yeah.
Are you going to buy me something? Wait a minute. Yeah. Wait a minute. Are you with me because you want
to
ride?
My kids used to do that.
Until you left them home?
Yep. I said, well, never mind. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
You know, and they finally got it.
Well, yeah.
They don't ask anymore.
Yeah. And then, what does a good dad do if you're out? But well, yeah, here's a pack of gum.
Or I'll swing into McDonald's or whatever and get an ice cream cone.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They love that.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure they do. You know, but that's what it's all about. We desire to be in a relationship with those that want to seek us for us.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants to bless you.
Right.
He wants to bless you, but can you stand to be blessed?
That's right.
Motives are so important. The why of what you're doing, you know what I'm saying, means so much. Well, we've heard it before. 100 people could be doing the very same exact thing,
mm-hmm.
but only one person can have the right motive, you know, of what, why they're doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And in your quest to walk out a relationship with the Lord and in your journey here to have an abiding relationship with God, you can make things very simple and not complicated
mm-hmm.
when we go back to Psalms 27:4 right from the beginning and remember one thing. It's so important to be single-minded when it comes focused on one thing I ask of the Lord, and this this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in this temple. If you seek him with all your heart, you'll find him.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
What are students' rights in public schools concerning their faith? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My daughter, she's in ninth grade at a public school, and she was in a private school before that. She's very vocal about her faith, and my question is, what are her rights? I thought I heard that there was a booklet or something.
Well, we've got a great resource actually available, Mary, on our website that is kept very current. If you just go to aclj.org, great resources on students' rights in school. And students have broad free speech rights and religious expression rights on campus. And students do not surrender the rights to freedom of speech at the schoolhouse gate. So they've got great free speech rights. The thing they can't be is disruptive to the school environment. That is the standard. So as long as it's not disruptive, they carry the day.
The American Center for Law and Justice is here to defend our religious liberties. Learn more about the American Center for Law and Justice on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
If you have not yet began to fellowship with believers who believe the Word of God, who have a deep passion to hear the voice of God and obey the Lord, who want to see the Great Commission not be the great suggestion, who want to be able to see the kingdom of our Lord come on earth as it is in heaven, who sees the church as the family of God that we are, and the expectation of God that he has of us to increase the size of his family, his kingdom. If you want to be a part of the dream, if you want to be a part of reading a Bible and seeing and walking out what you read, if you want to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer and merely deceived, I encourage you, if you're in the Gulf Coast region, join us at the VFN Dream Center. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org or join us as one of our e-members, our virtual members online. Go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Listen, it is time to be connected to a Rhema word. It is time. We need a now word to be able to step out in faith and see the glory of God. Listen, there's a lot of glory to share, and God wants to manifest his glory in your life. That's vinefellowshipnetwork.org, vinefellowshipnetwork.org. This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. Mm. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark. Mm-hmm. It's doubtful. It's this... Hitler-like type conversations, or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations, or Iranian, or Muslim-type conversations, or political, which is type conversations. Or you could listen to VFN Radio, and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's Word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. Mm-hmm. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing, and then they're coming into the churches and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand, and as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians. Mm-hmm. And the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed. for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
God's power is made perfect in our weakness. God's power is made perfect in our weakness. So many people are trying to get stronger so that God can use them, and the stronger you get, the least God can use you. Mm-hmm. Now you're understanding why God's using us. And when you think about it, God said to the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:9 talks about it. He said, mm-hmm. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power, the power of God. But think about it. The power of God is made perfect in weakness. He says, my power is made perfect in weakness. That makes no logical sense. Mm-mm. Think about it. It makes no logical sense. And so Paul says, well, because of this, I'm just going to boast more gladly in my weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how many people try to hide their weaknesses? How many people just like, oh, I don't know if God can use me? It's like, you know, hey, that's why we post our testimonies. So he's like, you need to know, man, we are totally dependent on God for everything. Yeah, we are boldly marching into this war and we're standing up for God, but God's the one giving us the victory. He's the one that's moving and doing, and we are totally 100% dependent on him. At any moment, if he chooses to snatch the rug out from under us, so be it. I mean, he can. It's totally up to him. We know each breath, each step we take, you know, we're totally dependent on him. And embracing, I want to encourage you, because I'm challenging you for 2013 and this year, is to embrace weakness in 2013. I mean, you're not going to get, it's like, okay, 2013, I'm going to get strong enough to do something. No, the thing is get in tune with your weakness. Get in tune with the awesomeness of God and understanding that his power is made perfect in your weakness, to bring those two revelations together. I want to encourage you to embrace weakness in 2013, because the reality is that we can do nothing outside the Lord. But embracing this, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
All right.
How can I do all things if I can't get over this weakness in my life?
Right.
I mean, this is a great revelation, because first of all, we need some help on the front lines. You know, we need some help. And somebody says, well, I'm too weak. And it's like, well, as long as you can understand that God can work through you, mm-hmm. and you're in tune with your dependency on God, and therefore you're not going to step outside the ranks of his grace, I mean, get on the front lines.
That's right.
Because you know you actually have to have God. You're not going to get all spunky and stuff when you realize he's the one holding your airline, mm-hmm. and you're diving underwater, right?
That's right.
Let me tell you, bro, it ain't going to work, right?
That's right.
Somebody, you're hanging off of a balcony of the Empire State Building. Somebody's holding you by your foot. You don't yell at the person holding your foot.
Mm-mm.
Like, how you doing? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
How can I better meet your needs?
Exactly.
Right? Don't let go of my foot. And so I want to share just a personal experience about that to kind of give you some ideas, and hopefully I have time to do it, is in Hebrews 11:6, first of all, he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it's pleasing God when we begin to move in faith, which is Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. So facing your weaknesses, but yet boldly going after what God says, knowing that you can't do it outside of God, is very pleasing to God. Now, it's not pleasing to your flesh, because I'm going to tell you what happened to, you know, my flesh in regards to that, but it's okay. It doesn't matter. You know, God's, the flesh counts for nothing, Jesus said. But God began to stir my heart. God began to stir my heart sometime back, many years ago, about the fathers speaking into the lives of their children, and our father figures or mentors also speaking into the heart of the fatherless, to be able to spend some time together for the sons of our particular city that we were in, and to get a grid for the father and a son relationship, to get a grid for being a father, because there wasn't, mm-hmm. it's not a grid, and to get a grid for being a man. You know, what does it mean? A grid is like thinking about latitude and longitude on a map. You can kind of know where you are if you just find out where other people are in the context, what God says.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had this revelation, it was just in me, and it, until I spoke it and began to move in it, it was nowhere. So I had nothing, no money at that particular time in regards to this word, no team, no idea how it was going to happen. And all I had to do was this, all I had was this unction of the Lord and the agreement of his word in Malachi 4, chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. He says, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, or the children to the fathers, or I'll smite the earth with a curse. So I had the word of God just burning in my heart. And as I began to move, the team came together, things came together. But as I progressively continued in unswerving, dogmatic progression, believe in God, and just even though I didn't have a grid how this thing was going to happen, God provided each step of the way. Mm-hmm. It was totally amazing. I mean, there was no, we were talking about thousands of people providing food and gear and wilderness experiences and all these different things. There was nothing. Right. All it was a rhema word from God. That was it.
Right.
And my first meeting that I had with people that was going to encourage me, I said, oh, here we go. We're ready to do it. What do you think? And somebody goes, well, I haven't really thought about it yet. And somebody else was, it was like, oh my goodness. So I was like that keeper of this word. I had a torch, and I had to carry this thing and believe God for this thing to manifest and happen in the city. But yet I was so weak in myself. It was impossible for me to do this myself. There was no way that I could actually have done this. It was totally outside my abilities, resources, intellect, knowledge, and all that type of thing. So, but yet I went forward. I began to just progress and believe God for it. It was amazing how as I started moving forward, God would just provide this. He would provide that. He would provide key people to the point that I'm going to tell you, the people that begin to join in, but they begin to join in what I believe God for. The enemy was attacking me personally through the entire thing as I began to progress in this. So if you're going to move in faith in God and what God's given you, you have to understand that you're going to have an adversary, and the adversary is going to use people, and sometimes he will actually use just fiery darts just going into you alone, accusations and all these different things. But it was amazing the warfare that you had to go through to be able to believe. You thought everybody's going to join together and go, kumbaya, Lord, kumbaya. Ooh, it was like, I'm going to kill him, Lord. I'm going to kill him, Lord. And so all your, weaknesses and all your inabilities are constantly before you. But yet you're moving. You're just driven. And you don't know how this next thing is going to happen, but you believe God for it, and then God provides for it. And then you have others that are committing to things only to be used by the adversary to not deliver on things. And it was just wild to see what was going on. And ultimately, we ended up in the wilderness with thousands of fathers and sons and mentors and fatherless sons. And God showed up in a powerful way. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had in participation, there was military forces, Marines, the Navy, law enforcement, school systems, government, mentors, fatherless, fathers, sons, lawyers, every form of just amazing what took place. But it all began because, I just believed what God was showing me and compelling me to do. And I stepped out, not knowing how it was going to happen, but just was driven by the word of Malachi 4, 5, and 6, which is preparing the way for the Lord. And for 10 years. I did this, but in the beginning it was easier as time progressed because things began to be established, but it gets established first with a word from God. But yet God's power that provided this was made perfect in my weakness. So here I am weak, and these things are impossible. The adversary continually throughout every bit of this would remind me continually that I couldn't do it. It was so amazing how he was just there. And so you imagine I have all these, a thousand of folks coming to a particular place that has not yet been chosen to do a thing that has not yet manifested. Mm-hmm. So God can do what he's going to do, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be fed, 5,000 meals in one weekend,
mm-hmm.
from food coming from somewhere, and somebody's going to serve it and all these things. And I would lay down at night in my bed. And you're exhausted because you're you close your eyes for about 5 seconds, and instantly the accuser comes right in and just hits you with everything, like bam, and all this weight of this thing would hit you, and they're coming, and what are you going to do, and this is not going to happen, and mentors and food and stuff, and they're coming, and you're in that, and all of a sudden your eyes just slam open, bam. I mean, they're like closed for about 5 seconds, And then all of a sudden he just hits you with accusations and lies and it won't work and this is not going to happen. And your flesh is just freaking out. Your flesh is just won't line up. It's amazing. It'd be cool if your body would line up. But it's amazing when you're pressing after God and you're doing what God says, understand, you know, I'll talk a little bit more about it in a moment, that your flesh is just, it's not going to be, you know, all happy about it.
Right.
To the point that literally that here I'm believing God and God's moving powerfully and all these things are happening, but my body, I'd get up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and it's just in shock. And I just wouldn't listen to it. Right. I just wouldn't pay attention to it. I wouldn't believe the lies the enemy was saying. And I will never forget one particular night that we, it manifested just like God said it would and led us where there's 1,000 fathers and sons and mentors and fatherless sons and police officers patrolling the area. And they're all in their tents at nighttime. And we're camping out in this region. And imagine all these people are now sleeping in their tents and the next day has to start and something's going to happen. And it has to be the thing that you believe God for. And I'm laying in my tent. I'm laying in my tent that night. And the enemy just comes in there and goes, "What are you doing? This is not a good time for this conversation. Yeah, what are you doing?" And it just began to accuse. And he's thinking, "You got all these men out here. You got all these fathers out here. You got all these sons out here. The whole city's looking at this prophecy. Everything's happening. Who are you to be doing this?" And who? I mean, just bombard me all through the night. And then you just get up. And you continue moving the next day in the Word. And God moves powerfully where, you know, relationships with fathers and sons are encouraged and healed and renewed and established. And the fatherless get the grid for what a father's like and that type of thing and get a grid for being a man. And they would form this tunnel of affirmation at some point. And all the fathers would and all these sons would come through this tunnel. And they begin to love on their son, these sons and bless them and pray for them. And God would just swirl. His presence would just swirl. And I'm cutting this short, but understand that God's glory was so strong that a Marine's face glowed with the glory of God. That's how powerful it was. Mm-hmm. Undeniable tunnel of tears, they nicknamed it, because God's presence would fall and people would just weep and weep and weep and weep. And it was just powerful, totally powerful. And thousands were touched through this period of time. But it all began because God laid it on my heart and I had to believe God. And my flesh was not going to be happy. Listen, I'll tell you what separates men and boys. Let me tell you what separates girls and women's. Let me tell you what separates fathers and mothers in the faith and children in the faith. Due dates.
That's right.
You know, get a due date. Don't have one more cheerleader, booster club meeting. Don't have one more, you know, get your feet on the ground and begin to believe God and put a due date, draw a line in the sand and says, "We're going to do this for God." And you'll find everything in hell. I mean, the devil hates due dates.
Right.
He hates due dates. And it was just totally amazing with the things that would happen. The weather we got blamed by the weather. You know, they were calling, I can't control the weather. And so the due date, it just begins to get, it got closer and closer and closer, you know, the first one and the second one, third one. And it's amazing. Everything, I mean, raining sideways and crazy things are going on. And I mean, we had literally, you know, ministers commit to do things and they were used by the adversary to make sure that it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to deal with this naivety of going like, ministers can't be used by the devil to affect this and then justify the very fact of not doing it. It's like, wow, so many things we learn. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of that, and it's just powerful. The thing is like, it was like a warfare to do one thing. To love on fathers and sons, to love on the men in the city, and to tell them that God loves them and God has a plan for their life too. To bring them to a place they can get a grid for Father God, a grid for Father-ing, a grid for father-son relationship, and just a powerful thing. But it began because, you know, I believe God. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And you guys are a testimony to just driven. I was just driven day and night, nonstop. Until at that point, and it just, my drivenness was not going to be the thing that actually brought it to pass. God was going to have to show up.
That's right.
Yeah. And God honored all of our work. And I mean, we had times we had to change the date. We had thousands of signs all over a city. Right. I mean, everywhere.
Oh my God.
Thousands of signs all over a city. And something happened majorly, I believe, in the weather, which we learned to camp in the rain.
Just
And so we went to a sign company and got a different date done on a laminate or whatever that stuff is. And we went all over the city, sent a whole team out to every single sign in the city where these signs were out. And they began to change the date on the sign. And it was so cool because people saw the sign there before. So they had to think, like, wasn't that going to be this weekend? I guess it's next weekend. I mean, the things that we did, but then God moved mightily. You know, many people love to talk about logistics once the logistics have manifested. Mm-hmm. But few people would stand with me believing for God to manifest the logistics. You know, many people talked about how they were going to instruct the mentors for the fatherless, but once the mentors were actually manifested, but very few people wanted to stand with me in faith and demonstrate it by their works to go out and begin to get and believe God for the mentors. I mean, everybody's like, I want to manage your people. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. You know, and, you know, I'd get up in the middle of the night and the enemy would just come in and totally attack my flesh. Listen, but God was still doing it. Listen, you can hold on despite the attacks that are coming against you physically. You'll find people that are around you. It could be your family. It could be friends or whatever who are held captive by the devil. And just like Peter was used by Satan to be able to try to thwart the plans of Jesus, they realize that because they have something in their heart that's not right, they're easily could be used by the enemy. And all of a sudden, their mouth, at the worst case of time, you know, when you're believing God for this huge example for me, for this huge event in the city, that they say the darndest things, you know, and it definitely tries to turn your route. It's amazing. Yeah. It's like how many mouths begin to just speak against. And because we fought and because we believe God, because we didn't pay attention to having to sleep on a root, you know, because we just did it despite what we're feeling like.
Right.
God moved powerfully, so much so that the government came to support us.
Yeah.
All the way from Indore, India, pretty deep, heard all the way from India with World Vision, and we're in relationship even today. He's in Pittsburgh up there. And it was because that it's called faith. That's what faith. Yeah. Faith is not like going, I hope it all works out. And they're like, listen, 2013, this year is going to have to be about us willing to do the hard work, which means our flesh has to suffer while we believe God and we accompany what we're believing God with works. We're actually physically doing something, but we're trusting our faith in God. Think about it like this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 12, Paul talks about this. When Paul begins to explain it this way, he says, we have this treasure. We have this treasure in jars of clay. In other words, I had this physical body that I had to believe God with this physical body present to do this awesome thing, but it was still going to be clay through the whole process. It wasn't going to, like, all of a sudden I'm going to morph into some sort of, you know, superhero, and then I'm going to have this armor on me and my flesh is not going to feel something. Think about it. He says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And so God was going to use me, a weak, flawed person, and a lot of other people begin to join us to be able to show himself mighty. But it took us and our willingness to die to ourselves, to feel the uncomfortableness. And it was amazing that your body just wanted to stop. Yeah. And then he says this. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side. My flesh was hard-pressed on every side. I mean, there was no piece of my flesh that was not pressed. He says, we're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. It was amazing that I'm alive. It's amazing that we're alive.
Absolutely.
You know, and he says, but not crushed. Perplexed. I mean, perplexing was like constant, you know. Every single thing. What are we going to do? I mean, what are we going to do here? How are we going to do that? We're just perplexed, but not in despair. You know, God will work this out. Persecuted, oh my goodness, you wouldn't think, you know. Persecuted but not abandoned, God stuck with us. Struck down, amazingly, when you wanted to, struck down but not destroyed. He says we always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus. When we're feeling all that physicalness and all that pain, your body just hurts sometimes because the enemy's just pressing you and pushing you and your body's freaking out and is acting all weird and stuff. Listen, you're feeling the death of Jesus. You're feeling, you're empathizing with what Paul says. Listen, everything I've ever done, I consider dung, except for knowing him and the fellowship of his suffering. Listen, we need some people who are going to believe God in 2013 for the church to rise up, to do what it's called to do, to make God's manifold wisdom known in the heavenly realm. And listen, your biggest persecutors are going to be the religious who say, no, we don't want to go with God. We don't want to do what God says. We don't believe that. And they want to hold you captive. But listen, we got to go after God. It's going to be tough on your flesh, but it's going to be great on your spirit. And he says, we carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. So literally what happens, even though that's going on, it's God that gets revealed through our clayness and our clay vesselness. It's like God moved mightily, and we had to actually do that for him to move like he did. And so he was revealed in our bodies because of what he did. For we who are alive, he says, are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then, death is at work in us, but life is in working us also. What am I saying? I'm saying, listen, it's time to walk into the fire this year.
Right.
Listen, practical experience. I have a lot of training. Cool. You'll live. Jesus is the fourth man in the fire. And if you don't, you'll be with him and it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to walk into the fire and realize that God's power is made perfect in your weakness. I want to be able to continue that train of thought where we were just on, just to understand how important it is. If we're going to walk in the fire, that moving in faith, you know, God's power is made perfect in our weaknesses, that it's going to take us getting out and moving. You know, if you walk into the fire, it's actually walking into the fire physically, going and doing and going into the consequences of making those type of decisions. But Jesus told us, listen, if you have faith as little as a mustard seed, if you just have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You can move mountains, but it has to be accompanied. You have to actually do something.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do, the whole thing is, this is where the churches, we've gotten really good at the hear thing, but that we're not doing what we're hearing. And it's not that we didn't have that kind of faith. Hey, I can hear it. We got to begin to have faith to hear it and to do it. And that's when the test comes in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the testing of your faith. I mean, you think about it. If you believe the chair will hold you, you sit in it. Mm-hmm. If you believe that God will provide for you, you're faithful in giving him his tithes and the offerings. If you believe that God heals those who are sick, then you lay hands on people and you pray for them. If you believe a car has brakes, then you drive it. If you believe that God is not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would change his mind, then you are excited about finding about what this God who doesn't lie has to say, and you want to get into his word and you want to hold on to it and believe him for it. Listen, faith without works is dead. I had to not only believe God, but I had to go do what I believe God for. And I couldn't hope. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And you have all those people who operate off what they see, and their mouths are going to be used continually to kind of get you to explain the second story when you haven't even built the first story yet. And it's like, just follow God,
right.
You know, just follow. And listen, if it was your vision in the first place, then you would be actually explaining it. Since it ain't, you need to follow the leader, because that's what God does. It's all around the land. That's what he does. That's just how he does it. Believe me, if you ask the leader, they would not mind it being some other way. 1 Corinthians says this, and I want to be able to close this train of thought out understanding this. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 29, Paul's talking. He says, brothers, think of what you were when you first were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards, and not many were influential. Not many of you were noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before him. Understand this. Listen, you should meet those standards. This is who God, they describe George Washington's army as a ragtag army. But listen, God took that ragtag army, and we're living, you know, 230 something years later in a nation that they fall for.
Mm-hmm.
Over and over again. It's about who's on your side. The 300 members in Gideon's army. What did God do? God turned the heart of an entire nation back to him. It's not just enough for you to believe God. You're going to have to be a doer of what you believe. You have to step out. Even though you can't actually articulate the next step, you know what God said. You know what you're believing God for. And if you want to believe God for the third great awakening, we're believing God for a third great awakening. Join us. It's time to take America to the wilderness and introduce them and get a grid again for Father God.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
And so I encourage you right now, you know, practice, you know, 10 minutes a day, you know, turn off Batman, you know, turn, just pause for a moment. That's why we, when we talk about an abiding plan with God, you know, and if you don't have, if you don't abide with God, if you don't abide with God, you know, we got a plan for you to help you out and encourage you. It's at iabide.org. You go there and read a little bit and you can request your own plan. It's free. It comes to you instantly. That's why we talk about doing it with a pencil or a pen and a blank journal, your Bible and you, because you've got to learn how to be with God alone again. You have got to hear his voice, because it's not like it used to be, you know, prior to, you know, the New Testament. You're going to have to know the shepherd's voice.
Right.
He said, they know my voice. There'll be a day that the Son of Man comes. And you will hear the voice of the Son of Man, and you shall live.
Yeah.
My sheep know my voice and follow none other. Listen, there's a lot of people right now. I don't know why. I kind of know why. I mean, it boils down to money. I mean, it boils down to paychecks. It boils down to, you know, the atheist that was being interviewed by Diane Sawyer, which you can see on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. He's leading, you know, what they refer to as a large gathering or mega church of Christians.
Right.
Wow. But he says, you know, I'm an atheist. He says, I'm an atheist, and I can't tell them I'm an atheist. I mean, they have like a little black thing across his eyes. It's like, dude, they know who you are now. Hopefully they'll fire you.
We got your pig.
Hopefully they'll fire you, you know. Right. And but in that, you know, he was saying, this is the only trade I know. Well, ministry is not a trade.
Exactly.
Ministry is not a trade. This is not, ministry's, you know, that was the Church of England.
Mm-hmm.
That was a trade. You know, you would get on with the Church of England, which the king or the queen was over, and you'd work for them, you know, but true ministry, you know, is a servant and that walks in obedience to the master and to our shepherd. And, you know, start, you know, abiding with him alone, abiding with the Lord alone, you, God, your Bible, a blank journal, a pen, and go to iabide.org and look at some simple, simple things that even 8-year-olds are able to do and hear the voice of God and get used to hearing his voice. You want to hear his voice on this side of what's about to happen.
Amen.
Because you're going to hear a whole bunch of voices on the other side. And it doesn't, you know, the devil doesn't go away when things get bad. He cranks it up. You know, liars don't get quiet when things get bad. Liars crank it up.
When you think about all that's going on right now, of all the people who are trying to have a relationship with whoever, whatever, whatever's going on, and what better person to have a relationship with than Jesus Christ?
Well, that's it.
I mean, Jesus said himself, you know, man shall not eat and live up by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yeah. There's ever a time to be living out of the words of God and what God has said. Now is the time.
When he tells us, he says, you know, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can only have a lower level of heaven. Is that what he says?
No.
He says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. Most everybody but the 12 disciples left him. I mean, he had a huge crowd at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
And they said, this is a difficult teaching, because they were all looking at things in the natural. They're thinking like, I am not going to take a bite out of Jesus. You know, I am not going to drink his blood. I mean, that's the biggest offense to a Jew, because you did not, blood was the one thing you didn't mess with.
Right.
But he wasn't talking about, his words that he was speaking were not flesh. They were not about flesh and blood. They were spiritual. And you spend time with God, abiding with God alone. And he, when you do this, just like Ezekiel chapter 2, that his spirit comes inside of you to the point where all of a sudden you begin to have this encounter and God speaks to you and lifts you up and gives you direction. Your call will come when you're alone with God. You know, it won't come in this public place, you know, where men are telling you. I mean, it'll come when in your encouragement and your enthusiasm, your inspiration, the food that's going to give you strength, the manna that's going to carry you is what you get. your daily bread that you get from God in your abiding relationship. I encourage
you. Your fresh bread. Not what someone else read in the little book, and not what someone posted on a online, and you know that's good. I look at the disciples when they were looking for where's Jesus? He was seeking the Father up early. You know, you gotta seek him.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me, and you're very thankful, you're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level. Linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out. And in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up. Or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
John.
Yeah.
I got to tell you about a time that I was just bound. I had so many things happening, and just I felt so restrained. And, you know, I know God's word tells us that he came to unbind us, to be able to set us free. And I just felt just oppressed and just bound. And I thought, you know, what can I do about this? And then I figured, you know what? I'm just going to get a bigger pair of pants. You know, I'm going to just go ahead and move up from size 28 to 29. And it was amazing, man. I felt so free when I actually decided to say, you know, it's time to move up in size. We got to let the 28s go. You know, it was totally amazing. No longer bound, I am